Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very accomplished and successful entrepreneur from Japan who has made India his home, Mr. Tomonaga Tejima. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Tom is an India-Japan serial entrepreneur. He is the co-founder of OK Go, and he was earlier with Otsuka Pharmaceutical. So Tom, tell me about your amazing journey from the time of the great Hanshin earthquake in 1995.
Right. Thanks for mentioning that long time backstory. But it was actually the first time I chose this internet-related or technology-related career as my lifetime passion. Mm-hmm. That time, internet was not that prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was one of the few people who are actually exposed to the internet. And somebody mentioned, oh, you can access to the White House website. Mm-hmm. In foreign countries. Mm-hmm. Or the great Hanshin earthquake you mentioned, over 6,000 people were killed by the disasters. And that time, web was not frequently used that time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But text-based, the system called BBS, mm-hmm. bulletin board, was started to use in Japan. And somebody is saying, the person in your neighbor is evacuating to particular gym, the school nearby. These are very detailed information was shared. Mm. So I thought this is very different from mass media, TV and newspaper. Mm. And then I thought this information age came. Mm. So I decided to pursue something. So I was thinking maybe I can do something internationally, very big, and also socially impactful work that I may be able to pursue with this technology. So that's how all these technology startup journey started. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And then after that, you went into your corporate world, McKinsey and Otsuka.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be precise, before joining Otsuka, I was in a business school. But before that, right after college, I started my e-commerce journey. Mm. And that is an e-commerce platform, just like a Flipkart. Mm. And that time, 1990s, it was internet bubble economy.
Correct.
So relatively, it was easier to raise a fund. A lot of capitals are coming in. Mm. Also, as a freshman career, I think it's the first time of the history in Japan, some of the people are choosing to directly go to the startup rather than go to the traditional, corporate careers. Mm-hmm. So I heard in India as well, this the shift recently is happening, the parents and all pressure, family pressure, everything is there. But you dare to choose to the different paths. That is beginning to happen in Japan as well. So I chose that career to start my own.
Fascinating. And what made you give up a lucrative professional career to become an entrepreneur?
Right. So to begin with this e-commerce startup, I had a lot of challenges, of course, and learnings.
Yeah.
And I thought that it is better to have a various perspectives of the management rather than just only knowing about the internet technology and all these things. Because of my failure of the startup, when the bubble economy finished and it is becoming very difficult to raise a fund. Mm-hmm. So thinking back, talking about the HR, or how to build the organization, marketing, finance, accounting, all these things are required, at least in a minimum level. So I thought good idea to go to the business school. So I went to the business school and then go back to the McKinsey, go back to the Japan to join mm-hmm. the consulting firm, and try to wrap up some of the learning into mm. the little bit realistic world at the consulting. Mm. And then I thought it's a good idea to, you know, join the company. One thing before, actually, to from my very first experience at the e-commerce mm. startup. I was really you know, into this startup, and I never thought doing something else. But before jumping into startup again, I thought it is a good idea to go to the large corporate, very extreme side of mm-hmm. the you know, the types of the organization where I can you know, broaden my perspective, mm-hmm. and that's why I and especially you know, kind of. Organization that I'm really keen to is somewhat similar to a startup, but mm. You know, promote a company that has visionary leaders, you know, long-term perspective. All these things also is very mm. important for the startup.
Mm.
So I joined the company called the Otsuka Pharmaceutical, which is mm. the promoter-oriented 100-year company,
mm.
and then. Without any hesitation, I would say I thought it's time to go back to
very interesting
startup journey. Yeah,
very interesting. And Tom, you worked in China, Japan, and so many other countries. What attracted you to India?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So while I was working for Otsuka Pharmaceutical, mm-hmm. I went to so many countries, including, of course, China, mm-hmm. and then Korea or Indonesia, Thailand, and, you know, Turkey, all the way to UAE, all these places, including mm-hmm. India and Pakistan. And then whenever I go, since I am very passionate about the startups, so mm-hmm. I was thinking I can do something.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to China, that mm-hmm. was in 2008. Or nine, there are a lot of Japanese companies as well as Japanese entrepreneurs, mm. successful entrepreneurs there, of course, as well as the local Chinese entrepreneurs as well.
Mm.
So I thought, and for them, they have been in China for past 10 years already. So I thought it's too late for me to join and mm. do something here. Mm. Similarly to the other market as well. Mm. But when I came to India, the startup market is still
early days,
mm. very early days,
mm.
I would say, compared to now.
Yeah.
Suddenly it drastically changed. And also there's no Japanese entrepreneur there.
Mm.
There are a lot of struggling Japanese businesses, or mm. the exposure to the Japanese business to the Indian mm. market is very limited compared to the other market. So mm. I thought that this is a great opportunity. Of course, there are a lot of difficulties and challenges mm-hmm. as a foreigner. In India, there are so many you know, successful entrepreneurs, talented you know, entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So in this market, I was wondering whether I can do something here or not. But anyway, I'm excited to the environment. So that's why I started.
Very interesting.
My journey here.
And Tom, how is the startup ecosystem in India different from what you have seen in Japan or China or on any other country?
Right. As I mentioned, I think past the 10 years, it significantly evolved and devolved.
Hmm.
And if you talk about the size of the, you know, the number of the unicorns or hmm. the size of, you know, capital, especially flowing in from US or other market,
mm.
humongous, I would say, compared to Japanese market.
Mm.
So obviously this 40 some numbers, unicorns last year, that is much, much bigger than the Japanese market.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the people, the mm. So in Japan, there are several startup boom
mm-hmm.
In the past, I would say 30 years, I remember there are more than five times, you know, startup boom where, you know, a lot of successful entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
for example, Son Masayoshi, SoftBank, Tonsan is a very, very first generation. And then there are several of them. So as we go these processes, the you know, the talent pool is becoming more solid and more broad and more varieties. So from that perspective, it is a decent market. But as since the market is very close within the domestic market, you know, if you talk about India, you know, there are companies focusing on Indian market, or there are companies serving to US market and other market from the very beginning. So the potential or the market, you know, investors expectation to is limited in that perspective. Or in general, Japanese people are speaking mainly Japanese. So going global expansion is very, you know, difficult. So I see some of the major startups trying to go to the overseas market, but still they're struggling. Everyone is struggling.
Very
so from that perspective, it is constrained to the Japanese market. Wherein, as I said, in India, maybe the talent pool from that perspective is very limited.
You know,
the IIT people recently, maybe 2010 onwards, they start choosing a startup career. But it's just a 10 years history.
Absolutely.
So I would expect that to become much more. But in terms of international exposures, in terms of people's interactions, in terms of capital inflow, that is much dynamic in this market.
Fascinating. My next question to you is, before I go to any more startup questions, you co-founded OKGo.
Yeah.
Can you give me a brief response of what OKGo does? And I know you've also exited from the business.
Right. So OKGo is mainly about blue-collar gig worker management platform, where we deploy to the multiple one worker to the multiple organizations depending on their requirement and their peak hours. For example, if you're working for food deliveries, the only peak hours, the biggest peak hours, dinner time, where you can earn a lot of money within the limited hours. But at daytime, they cannot earn much because of off-peak or no deliveries.
Well said.
So now, Go ahead, please. So we deploy these workers to these e-commerce companies, which require more people in the daytime. And we, you know, cross-utilize these people. That's what we are doing.
Very interesting. So now moving on to a more general question. You have seen startups in India. You are a serial entrepreneur yourself. What are the important qualities a startup entrepreneur should have?
That's a very good question. There are many things, I guess. But I would choose resilience as one of the important aspects.
Yeah.
I think there is a Stanford professor writing about this, resilience as one of the important, you know,
skills.
Skills. I would also replicate that in saying for entrepreneurs, I think, you know, one very good achievement under that 99 efforts or 99 failures. So till the time, you know, you reach to the goal.
Yeah.
Including your life, it's not only about the work, but you have a family, all the complications. Still, you need to manage all these things to get to the goal, which I think is a resilience is the only thing that I should say is the factor for that.
Very interesting. My next question to you is, and again, you have, you know, spent time trying to raise money. A question that is asked many times is, should an entrepreneur or a startup founder bootstrap as long as possible, or should they raise money whenever it is available?
I think this is also a very, people have a different answer to this question. For us, both of us, my partner Sora and I, are very diligent in spending overall, no matter what. For me, learning from my first startup, which is only one example, one experience, mm-hmm. but when the fund is coming, you know, easily, mm-hmm. it's very easy to, you know, do, but it is not always like that in the mm-hmm. system. So as entrepreneurs, you have to have multiple scenarios. You mm-hmm. cannot say, this is the only way that I will take. And mm-hmm. if the things are not happening, then I have a no backup plan. That is very bad. Mm-hmm. So I always feel conservative use is better than overspend. Mm-hmm. Raising minimum amount is better approach than more. These are, you know, humongous fundraising mm-hmm. at a very early stage. Mm-hmm. That is a very good episode to tell. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. you should not expect that to be happening for everyone. Mm-hmm. From that perspective as well, the frugal approach is much better.
Well,
or
sir.
At least for us, is a better suit to us.
Well said. Well said. Great response. Thank you. My next question to you, Tom, is, and this is, again, a big debate that seems to be happening all the time. Who knows how to price a business better? Stock markets or venture capitalists?
Hmm. That is also a very good question. And I feel, you know, business price, especially when you talk about the startup valuation, whoever the persons who are dealing with the buyer and the sellers most visibility in that sense. And the price, when you talk about the price, the valuation mm. itself is always changing. Even in, you know, quarter-wise, the momentum changes and mm. valuation changes. Mm. So I think the venture capitalist knows very well about mm. this market dynamics. And but having said that, is this true value of the company or not? That I don't think the venture capital can say. Mm. Rather, the business owners or the entrepreneurs itself mm. should know about the value of the company as mm. to, you know, what is the visibility of the mm. you know, sales, profit, at the end, the profit towards the next, you know, a few years.
Very interesting. So one more question relating to startups. And, you know, I've been speaking to a lot of Indian business houses. They have built huge assets, right, over the last 100 years.
Sure.
And then along comes this young startup entrepreneur who in 3 years becomes a unicorn. Mm-hmm. I want to get your perspective on how do you manage this imbalance, massive assets, almost no valuation, mm. almost no assets, huge valuation. Mm.
I think we have a similar discussion in mm. Japan as well,
okay.
where a lot of large corporates have huge amount of cash reserves. But because of less innovation mm-hmm. or the you know, comfort to the current business, mm-hmm. There is no strategic you know, investment mm-hmm. or decision making to create a next generation business, mm-hmm. Despite again the huge cash reserve. Mm-hmm. So obviously, the Japanese corporate start. You know, right now there is a CVC room, CVC boom, corporate venture capital boom in Japan.
Mm.
A lot of, I would say maybe 45-50% of the companies
mm.
to some extent form the CVC mm-hmm. to identify these startups.
Mm.
So to create a business synergy or to create a you know, new business together with a startup.
Mm, mm.
So yes, so I would replicate a similar manner. So of course, mm-hmm. I'm not saying exactly the same.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Indian corporates or the Indian promoters are more, you know, innovative or dynamic in nature. Mm. also, you know, Japanese environment and the Indian environment is also very different. But I would say overall is this expectation of if you look at the next 5-10 years, the expectation whether to grow or not, that is a fundamental difference.
Correct. Well said. My last question to you, and this is for the many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your amazing experience across so many countries, the fact that you have decided to come to India, have built a business here, exited from it successfully, what would you say, Tom, are three lessons you want our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey and from our conversation?
Yeah. First thing I would say is partner.
I beg your pardon?
Partner, your business partner.
Partner, okay.
Especially doing a business in a foreign country. I don't think I, as a foreigner, I can be very successful in this market, unless otherwise you have a, you know, trustable local partner. This is especially true in the Asian market, where the culture is very different, people are very different. You cannot expect the yourself to be performing very well, understanding all aspects. So that how you can find trust partner is the one thing. Another thing is long-term thinking as to, this is also related to your business partner or your co-founder. If that is not aligned, then all these things come coming into your you know, decision making. And sometimes, you know, one person may leave, or some people might say, you know, because of our family issues, I need to do something else. All these things come up. But if you talk about, you know, long-term, not only about the business, but the life plan as well. If you, together with a partner, if you align on these things, and if you see, you know, mutually, we're making the long-term perspective decision-making, then short-term hiccup or short-term challenge can be easily overcome. That's the another perspective that I would have. The third one is that appreciating this diversity is very important. In a sense, India itself has a diverse country and a lot of people, different background, different skill set, different thought process. But I could really see that the benefit of that diversity, getting a lot of different ideas into the startup. I and my partner is very different in a way, Japanese and India. But not only that, but among the engineers, among the designers, among the operation leaders, it's very different people by people. But those management skill is very important, and especially compared to Japanese organizations, where everyone is pretty much the same. So that is also the essence of how the Indian leaders are really doing well in the global market as well. And that is also my learning as well.
Fabulous. Tom, on that note, and your three amazing lessons, select your partner very carefully. You must have long-term thinking to be able to manage short-term challenges. And the third one is to appreciate the diversity of the country you're working in. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your journey from the time of the Great Hanshin earthquake, about your journey as an entrepreneur, as a professional manager. Thank you for sharing with me some of the qualities of a startup entrepreneur, which are resilience, accepting failures, and making sure work-life balance is managed. Thank you for speaking to me again, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.